Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
We have enough Jesus in our spirits. I promise you there's nothing to hold us back from shouting out and giving a witness unto the Lord. Amen? I want to do exactly that this morning. I want to be an encouragement to you. I've titled my message very appropriately with what I believe now confirmed has been the Holy Spirit's desire for me to speak to you on. You had DJ come up here and give a witness. He gave a testimony. Every song that we sing is a testimony, is a witness of who God is and how He is and how we feel about who He is in our lives. Sadly enough, over the years, ladies and gentlemen, witnessing has become such a pale practice in the church. And I've entitled my message this morning, Can I Get a Witness? And I'm going to be posing that question on behalf of myself and on behalf of the Lord. And when I say, Can I get a witness? If there is a witness, I want you to shout it out, Amen, and praise the Lord. So can I get a witness this morning? I say, can I get a witness this morning? I want to encourage you this day. I want to read a little bit of scripture, then I'm going to get into witnessing about Jesus. That's all I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to witness to you on who the Lord is in my life, and I pray in your life. I want to start and open with Psalms 25 and 1. If you have your Bible, please open there. If not, follow us on the big screen. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Can I get a witness? No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. But shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Can I get a witness? Show me your ways, Lord, and teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. Can I get a witness? My hope is in you all the day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. For you, Lord, are good. Can I get a witness? Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them the way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. For sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord. For only he will release my feet from the snare. Can I get a powerful witness? I want to witness to you on behalf of my heart and unto the Lord and tell you that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. He is the Lord of heaven. He is the Lord of the mountains and the valleys. He is the Lord of the land and the seas. He is the Lord of the wind and the rain. He is the Lord of the entire universe. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess as all of creation brings forth their earthly accolades and crowns and lays them at the feet of Jesus and declare him King of glory, everlasting Savior, eternal Deliverer, beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega, the one that is and is to come. Can I get a witness? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. witnessing. Where did that come from? Where did it go? In the house of God, amongst the people of God, where has testimonies and witnessing gone? I was praying, and again, confirmation comes in many ways, but I've been praying over all the things that we're going through in our society, in our world, in our nation today. And I hope you're not offended when I say this, but I believe that this is a premeditated act of God, what we're going through. I know a lot of us are blaming the devil. A lot of us are blaming the White House. A lot of us are blaming so many other people beside the church or ourselves. But I feel in my heart, as I was praying at 3 o'clock in the morning over this, the Lord spoke to my heart, and he pictured in my mind a wine press as in days of old. You see, and back then they used to take the grapes, or in some cases the olives, and they would take them by the bushels and pour them inside of the wine press, and they would begin to squeeze them. And as they squeezed the grapes or the olives, depending the fruit it was, the juice began to pour from it. And I believe right now our nation is in the wine press. And the church is in the wine press. And I don't know who's paying attention, but I'm excited to tell you that God's plan always works. I said, God's plan always works. Can I get a witness? It always works. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but all around our nation and around the world, there are revivals beginning to happen. People are beginning to get saved in the small and in the big arenas. You just heard a testimony that in a small place in a park yesterday, there was someone witnessing of Jesus, and people got saved. And around the world and our nation, especially if you'll just look out beyond yourself and see what God is doing amongst His people, you'll see revivals going on in Austin, going on in Dallas, going on out of state. Genuine ministries beginning to embrace once again the desire to shout out the name of Jesus. And what does that do to? I believe two things. As I said, I believe it's when we go through a wine press. You and I know, can say and agree that it's when we are going through those troubled times, we begin to remember Christ and God. We begin to lift up holy hands. We begin to be more attentive to coming to church. We are more apt to wait for the pastor to just open the altar, to be quiet and just open the altar, that we might be able to run into the face of God, because we're going through the wine press. But also, ladies and gentlemen, equal as important, if not more so, it's because they know God. You see, when I look at witnessing and testifying in our world today and in the church, I believe that these are two major reasons why the church has stopped witnessing. The church has left testifying and witnessing to the pastor. They come waiting for the pastor to open his mouth and testify about Jesus. It's the pastor that has to come up here and give a testimony of Jesus. The church comes to the church house and waits for the worship leader to give a testimony and a witness about Jesus. They come to Sunday school and they wait on the Sunday school teacher to bring them a witness and a testimony of Jesus. For the children's ministers, for the youth ministers, for the young adult ministers, for everyone who holds a pulpit, the church comes in and waits for someone to bring a witness and a testimony. And yet the church is silent. Shh. For some reason, the church is gagged and it says nothing anymore. When they're challenged to witness, they'll say, it's not my job. Talk to the pastor. He should be having all these kind of outreaches. But how can the pastor have all these kinds of outreaches if there's no one to outreach? Isn't that what Romans says? That how will the unbeliever believe unless someone preached to them? How will those that do not know Christ hear about God unless the church opens its mouth to testify? Can I get a witness? I wish I had a meter here. If I say God wants to bless you and make you rich, if I say God needs you to get up and testify, can I get a witness? Do I have to yell to you to say, can I get a witness? Or can I simply say, can I get a witness? And it's just as loud. Can I get a witness? You see, it's until the olive begins to be pressed that the oil begins to flow. The sweetness of praise, the sweetness of witnessing, the sweetness of worship begins to flow into the heart and ears of God. This is the position of the church. This is where we're supposed to be right now. These young people come and play and they lift up worship unto the Lord and they cry out to you, shout it out to Jesus, worship Him, jump on the wings of our worship and join us as we meet Christ in the air and just give Him all glory and praise. And it's just as silent sometimes. We sing that song, Breakthrough, Breakthrough. Breakthrough, breakthrough. Derrama tu gloria, como dijiste. Derrama tu gloria, como dijiste. You see, Lord, give us your glory just as you said so. How many of us are really crying out those words, that witness today? Every time there is struggle, every time there is pressing, worship and praise and witnessing is birthed. Exodus 2 and 23. During the long period, the king of Egypt died, and the Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, I want to be personal today, if I can, and tell you that it's such a sad situation where we have to lift up worship and praise because of slavery. Can I get a witness? So sad that we have to wait for the doctors' diagnostic results that tells you you're not going to live any longer, that the praises will go up. How sad and heartbreaking is it that the boss has to come to you and say, you're fired, we're closing the company, or we don't need you anymore, go home. Then the praises begin to go. And the bad news comes. There's a mishap that's just happening and it's going to affect your life completely. Oh, oh. This was Israel. The Bible says, you just read that in Scripture. They groaned. They opened their mouth and they groaned because of their slavery. How many of us are waiting to be slaves in order to worship? I'm wondering if that question is in the heart of God this morning for all of us. How many of you are waiting for me to press you harder? That the trueness of your love for me might begin to flow out of your dry pores. Must I loosen the willow that you might become fearful and realize the reality of your existence as so small? And that the joy you find in those extra things you've been looking at are not things that will sustain you like me, the Lord your God, can sustain you. He cried because of their slavery. I was asking, Lord, so are you telling me that there's a great potential that this is not even about the nation? Are you telling me, Lord, that this really isn't about Israel and wars in the Middle East? Are you telling me that this isn't really about the White House? Are you telling me that isn't really about Democrats and Republicans? Are you telling me that's really not about the left and the right? Because that's a big topic in the lives even of Christians. Is it possible that this is all about me? Is it possible that it's just about us, the church? That heaven doesn't ring with the praises of your people anymore. And it saddens your heart, Almighty God, that you would have to rise from your throne not to deliver us or not to bless us, but to press us. See if our lips will moisten again with the sweet testimonies of who you are. How I pray, as I know many of you who partner with me and pray, that in these last days as we wait for the coming of the Lord, we will allow ourselves to be set on fire. The fire of the Holy Spirit. That you and I would somehow be set aflame. A flame so high and burning that nothing would stop us from opening our mouth to give a witness of the Savior of our souls. To give a true and spiritual worship to the God that saved us. You heard the psalmist say, Lord, remember not the sins of my youth, for they are many. And the Bible says that he who is forgiven much should love much. Unless you don't think that God had to forgive you about anything, then you owe him nothing but me. Me. When I stand on this earth, this will be the last place I stand. When I breathe my last breath, this is where I will breathe my last breath. Because I'm in debt. My sins were many. His salvation power was great. This is why I'm long-winded. It's almost going to be 12. Some of you are going to turn into pumpkins in a little bit. But I'm just into my introduction. Because I've got a witness. I've got a testimony. I was on my way to hell, but God delivered me and saved me. Hallelujah. I don't want to wait for the press. I don't want to wait to be crushed. I want to give him glory because I know who he is. Can I get a witness? I said, can I get a witness? It's time for the church to raise up an incense of witnessing and worship unto God in these last days. It's so important to God that you and I, once again, like we did in the beginning, enough of old glory, enough of old stories. Fresh wine is what God wants to give us. Fresh worship, fresh praise is what God wants to give us. Can I get a witness? I pray that somehow this lockjaw that the devil has us in, kind of like the Tin Man in that old movie that they used to show, what is it, the Wizard of Oz or whatever they call that movie. I never watched that show. I hated those monkeys. I had nightmares because of that. And everybody looks forward to it every year. They believe they show it once a year. Now, I don't, because those monkeys fly. It's horrible. But you remember the Tin Man? Until finally they came and they applied oil in his jaw. And he began to speak. Some of us need oil. Some of us need Holy Ghost oil. We need the power of God to come and moisten and oil our jaws. Get the rust out of our jaws that we might be able to open our mouths and begin to testify of the goodness of the Lord and Savior Jesus. In the book of John, those of you who have read this book, and if you haven't, you should. It's a beautiful love letter, but it's also a very challenging letter. But most of all, it's a witnessing letter. In the book of John, you will find that John expresses very quickly into the game, if you will, into his writings, why he's saying all these things. The purpose for writing this letter taken after his name. It says, it's so that you, through him, might believe. So that you might believe and have everlasting life. John was a witness of the Lord, and he testified about God. And the reason behind it all was because he knew what these young people saw yesterday at the park. They saw a world in need. A world that needed to hear about the saving Jesus that John knew. Ladies and gentlemen, there are people dying all around you. They're walking dead all around you. And though you may not notice it, but in their hearts they're seeking for something of true value and purpose in their life. During this time, here we are, the church. Lockjawed. Nothing to say. That wouldn't be John. John said, I am a witness. He said as himself in John 21 and 24, he refers to himself as a witness who has testified. And then it says, writing, he enters a true testimony. I said to you this morning, just a few minutes ago, there are two reasons why people won't testify. One, because they're lockjawed. But maybe two, because they don't know him. Do you know Jesus enough to testify about him? That's a serious question. Do you know Christ enough to tell others about him? Or are you the hearsayers? Well, it says somewhere. Well, I heard on the radio. Oh, pastor said. And there is no personal knowledge of Jesus as Lord. What keeps you from testifying? What keeps the church from testifying? It fears me to think, ladies and gentlemen, that the church doesn't know God anymore. That many in our pew don't really know who He is enough to get excited about telling somebody about Him. And we're so used to the programs and the good music and the air conditioning and the lights and all these things that flicker around us that we have forgotten to really come to know the Savior whom for all these things are. This is a time of introspection. Can I get a witness? Maybe you need proof, or maybe you need evidence. Maybe you need a witness of who Christ is. Can I tell you who He is? Very quickly. I know we've got 7 minutes. But this is John's testimony and witness of whom he knew as Christ and God. He writes it for us in the book, in the letter, if you will. Chapter 2, he speaks of him as he turns water to wine. And in that he reveals that the Lord has authority over the elements. And this is good news for us. He speaks of Christ in chapter 4 and how he healed a nobleman's son, proving that God is not based or biased to the rich or to the poor, but he will help any man that will call upon his name. Chapter 5, he heals a layman at Bethesda, giving and proving to us that Christ is conscious of our hurts and pains, even while others ignore you. Chapter 6, he depicts Christ for us and tells us of the time he walked on water, the times he fed 5,000, showing us that Christ will allow nothing to hold him back, no water and no lack to reach those who are in need of him. Chapter 9, he heals the man that was born blind, showing us he cares about those with physical struggles. Chapter 11, you know this story. He raises Lazarus from the dead and ultimately revealing his authority over the present and the future, the flesh and the spirit. This is a witness of Christ and who he is. I want you to learn this. If that isn't enough, maybe you won't believe John. He also brings for us testimonies of others concerning the Christ they knew. He brings to us and introduces to us John the Baptist, who looked at Christ and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He introduces to us Nathanael, who with his mouth looked at Christ and said, "You are the Son of God." Simon Peter, you know him well, who looked at Christ and says, "You are the Holy One of God." He brings to us in the middle of a crowd as they shout, "This is the Christ." Mary and Martha, as they confess, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God." Thomas, "My Lord, my God." And John himself, "Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." If you don't believe John's testimony, there were others that testified of the greatness, goodness, deity, holiness, powerfulness, and everythingness of Jesus. It was their knowledge of him that moved them to witness. And if you don't believe these guys I just mentioned to you, maybe you'll believe Jesus himself. How many believe Jesus? Amen. How many know that there's a lot of things that God can do, but there is one thing he cannot do, and that is lie? How many know that God cannot lie? He can try, but he cannot lie. He is the God of truth. The Bible says that he is the truth, the life, and the resurrection. He is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should regret or change his mind about what he has spoken. Jesus himself opens his mouth about himself and says in chapter 6, I am the bread of life. Chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Chapter 10, I am the door. Chapter 10, again, I am the good shepherd. Chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Chapter 15, I am the true vine. Do you not believe Christ? Can I get a witness? This is the testimony of God himself. He speaks to us in truth. See, sometimes we're held back from testifying because we don't know the truth. We'll listen to anybody on Airstream, and whatever their position is concerning Christ, we'll believe it as doctrine. And so today we have a million churches around, and they're all different. Now, I'll always remember this, if I can just interject quickly. I remember seeing this Gaither concert. You know who the Bill Gaither is? Anybody? You're not that old. Okay. That's okay. He's from Elvis Presley's time. No, but he's present now. Wonderful, wonderful ministers. And one of his singers, Brother Laurie, went up there, and they were speaking to a multitude of people. And he went up there knowing that that house was filled with all denominations. He goes, can I have the Baptist shout? And can I have the Anglican shout? And can I have this guy shout? And he went on to three or four denominations. And then he laughs. He goes, you know, it's funny, but somebody's wrong. Somebody's wrong. And the crowd was silent. The only ones who will be right are those that know the truth. This has nothing to do with denomination. I don't care what denomination is around us. If they know the truth, that's the right place to be. That's the right place to be. Many of us spend time criticizing other denominations. I don't. I've met some good people from other denominations that sometimes makes those of us Pentecostals look a little pale when it comes to knowing God. But you see, what makes all the difference is those who know the truth. The truth is important these days, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to get to the end here. Before I lose you this morning, can I get a witness? Amen. The truth means so much. I don't know how many of you have been involved in a litigation in a courtroom. I won't have you raise your hand, but I can tell you that I have. I've been in a courtroom, and I've been in a situation that it required a judge and counselors and lawyers, attorneys, what have you. And during those times, the trial and the hearing, they have what they call witnesses. Yes? And regardless of how many trials you may have gone to, or how many courtrooms you've ever gone to and been a part of, there's always two kinds of witnesses. Always. Everywhere. In every courtroom. Those that tell the truth and those that perjure themselves. Can I get a witness? And both of them have an opportunity to speak on behalf of the situation that is at hand. And you have those who are speaking the truth, and you have those who are perjuring themselves without fear at the questioning chair or the witness chair. And sometimes those who are telling the truth will listen to those that are sitting in the witness chair, those that will, without shame, perjure themselves and tell such lies with such good rhythm, without hesitating, such smoothness. Their craftiness and their thoughts are so great. The judge is looking at them, and the attorneys are looking at them, and the people who are those who are true witnesses are sitting there, and they begin to crack their knuckles because it seems that those who perjure themselves without shame will win the trial. Because they're so crafty. They're so smooth in their lies. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me carefully and let this be a warning to the church. There are millions of liars that are lying about Jesus outside. There's a lot of people who are making things up about Jesus. A lot of people who are contradicting God's word. And they do it with such smooth. It sounds convincing. Teaching our young people, teaching couples all together, families all together, lying to them on the witness stand, just smoothly giving them and feeding them all these lies about the God they have never seen in the scripture or have experienced in their heart. And right now, I can tell you that sometimes the church swallows. Because those that are on the witness chair right now are making more noise than the church. And one of the consistent cries and sayings amongst people today, amongst Christians, is, oh, what is this world coming to? I'm going to tell you where this world is coming to. It's coming to Christ. I said, it's coming to Christ. I'm going to tell you why. Because no one can thwart, no one can disassemble the plan of God for this world. The very popular passage of scripture that those of you who know it, just know it verbatim. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. Before all of this is over, and I'm not saying that everyone is going to turn to God, but what I am telling you is giving you hope that in the end, God will get the glory through all of this pressing that we're going through. All of this struggle that we're going through, God is going to get the glory. Yes, he is. The point I make is that there are many witnessing outside of the church, and yet the church is silent. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, I know that certainly this is not a shout me down sermon, but certainly comes from the deepest part of my heart because of what I received in prayer of the Lord. God is expecting us to witness again. Witnesses reveal knowledge of who they speak of. And you know the truth. Amen. If you don't know the truth, go to the book of John. He'll tell you who he is. He's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He is the one that will bring light into your darkened moments in life. He's the God that heals us. He's a God that the elements subdues the elements, and there's nothing to hold them back from reaching us where we're at. You know him. You know him. Can I get a witness? Does anybody not know Christ? Then you need to come to this altar and receive Christ as your Lord, because you need to know Christ. Until you really know Christ, you'll be able to witness of him. When John began his letter, he opens up by saying, in the beginning was the Word. Some of us need to realize what that teaches us, and it teaches us that God is a forever God. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, Jesus is a forever Savior. If you didn't know that, you need to know that now, so that you can witness about Him. You know, Jesus coming to us in the flesh had its purpose as well. He was the bridge between man and God. This is why we call Him the God-man. He had to do that for us. Anytime someone builds a bridge, they build it to take a hold of one body of land and hold another body of land because there's something in the way that won't allow people to get through car, vehicle, or walking. You see, there is a big puddle of sin between us and God that no man can cross on his own. He needed a bridge. And Christ is that bridge. I was thinking the other day, ladies and gentlemen, as I began to close today, I began to think about baby Jesus. If you'll drive around certain places, you'll see Mary holding a baby. And even some people still pray to the baby Jesus. But I was thinking about the whole nativity scene. We were given a virgin. We were given a baby. We were given an earthly father. We were given a manger scene. We were given wise men. We were given shepherds. We were given a star. We were given a city. We were given earthly things. All with the purpose of God communicating with us in something we understood. But we need never forget that Jesus was never a baby. He did not need a manger. He did not need a virgin. He did not need a Joseph. He did not need wise men. He did not need shepherds. He did not need a star. He did not need gifts. He did not need anything. Before this nativity scene, Christ already was. Already was. He was before anything that was given to us for us to embrace the reality of who He is. This is why John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Before anything was, Christ already was. He's a forever God. And that speaks volumes to our lives, because we'll never be alone. He'll always be with us. We need to know Him as the God of truth. As I spoke to you about witnessing, at the end, those who will win the trial will ultimately be those that tell the truth. In every court, there is a judge, though he is an earthly judge. And sometimes we have seen that injustice takes place in our judicial system here on earth. That's because we are faulty men. But there's nothing faulty about the judge we have in heaven. He is a perfect God of truth. And in the end, those who will win this trial we call life, this trial that we have over who is God and who is not, those who speak the truth will win this trial. We'll stand in the victory circle, speaking the truth. And only those who will speak the truth are those who were there, who witnessed, who have experienced the reality of this Savior. Is your jaw locked? Have you witnessed about Christ in the past day, week, month, year? Have you told anybody about Jesus? I don't mean just like, oh, God is good. I'm talking about, can I sit down and tell you about the Savior of my soul? If not, do we need some oil in our jaws today? Do we need some oil in our hearts today? Are we going to let those who are testifying about Christ, who are purging themselves on the altar before the ears and hearts of men and lying to people, driving them away from Christ, while the church that knows the truth will not lead them to Christ? You see, when they lie to you about Christ and who He is, they're giving you a false, ungenuine Christ. And an ungenuine and untrue Christ cannot do a thing for you. You need the real thing. Can I get a witness? I don't know how many of you drink Coke. But people used to drink just straight Coke. If you know a little bit of the history, you'll find out that actually it was laced with a little bit of the upper thing. But they changed that a little bit, but still you have now Coke is the real thing. But then we found out it has too much sugar and caffeine. So what do? Because we have people with sugar in their blood, they develop Diet Coke. Yes? Coke Zero. There you go. Coke Zero. Some of us like milk. And it's not like the old days where they used to take milk from the cow itself and just warm it up and drink it that way. Now for us, we're a little bit more sensitive in the belly, and now, but they produce for us something that we call whole milk. But then we found out that we were lactose intolerant. And so what they did was they decided to develop skim milk. 1%, 2%, organic almond to replace the genuine milk. And when I look at this world that we're living in today, church, there's people that don't really want God as He is, Christ as He is. And so the devil himself is very crafty. He says, oh, you can't drink the real Jesus? Well, let me give you a diet Jesus. Let me give you a skim Jesus. Oh, let me give you Jesus light. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, about the Savior that I know. There is no light Jesus. There is no skim Jesus. There is no lactose-free Jesus. There is no diet Jesus. When you come to Jesus, you get the whole Jesus. You get the whole Jesus. The whole Jesus. Let me tell you something as I ask you to stand. When Jesus died on the cross, He bled whole God blood. He sweat whole God sweat. He spoke whole God's word. He left behind whole God's footprints. He is 100% God. He is 100% Savior. If you knew this Savior, what else can we offer unto Him if not a testimony? If not a witness? A.W. Pink wrote this way. He said, in this book, the Bible, we are shown the one who was heralded by angels to Bethlehem and shepherds, who walked on this earth for 33 years. He was crucified at Calvary and rose in triumph from the grave, and who 40 days later departed from the scene. He was none other than the Lord of glory. The evidence is so overwhelming, the proof almost without number. The only thing left for us to do after contemplating, after realizing His true majesty. What is left for us is only to bow our heads, surrender our hearts and worship before Him and declare Him King of Glory. King of Glory. Is He your King of Glory? Is He your King of Glory? Is He your forever Savior? Is He your forever God? Is He enough in your heart today that nothing will stop you from opening your mouth to share who and how wonderful He is? Testifying, ladies and gentlemen, has been lost a lot in the house of God. We've challenged every one of us to speak to somebody. And it's not about filling the church up. It's not about having 20,000 people. It's about people getting saved and rescued from the very pit of hell. That's the heart of Christ. Souls. 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 Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? You know, we are told, ladies and gentlemen, that in the skies there is an innumerable amount of stars and galaxies beyond ours. It takes I don't know how many light years and light that travels 180,000 miles a second. It'll take like 5 or 6 years to cross the galaxy because it's so vast. And yet the Bible says that the Lord measures the universe at the width of His hand. We see the oceans that cover 3/4 of this world. And you may ask someone who understands the levels and the cubic meters of water, and they may tell you there's 14 billion whatever meters of water in this world. And yet, if you ask Christ, Lord, how much water is on the earth? And He will show you in the cup of His hand. He's such a great God. I said, He's such a great God. There are 7-some-odd billion people in this world. And you and I only know a small circle around us in this city. We see people we don't know all the time. We are in town, whatever, everywhere. We travel and we see people that we don't even know where they're from or what they are or what they do or what their name is. And yet the Lord knows everyone by name. How great is your God? Do you not know Him? Have you not met Him? Can you be quiet about a God like that? Don't you think everyone should know Him? Don't you know? And don't you believe that you have found the treasure above all treasures? As Christ has found you and you have found Him. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness?
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.